Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, there are no strings on Disneyland with the state reopening for business. More food locations have returned.
Some day and nighttime entertainment will be returning in the next few weeks. We talk to the first Peter Pan at Disneyland and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of June 16th, 2021. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out and a big thank you to Joan M. for supporting the show. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. The supporter Discord chat has been a great source of Disney magic from our supporters like, oh gosh, all sorts of things. We've got trivia, we've got movie nights, topic days, bounding challenges, and so much more. If you'd like to become a weekly tier yourself and have some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Once again, we have another D180 for our friends over at Concierge, and we'll listen to that right now.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We begin our tour in Walt Disney World, where a most grand event is about to begin. No, not the 50th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom. Come on. That's like 4 months away. 50th anniversary. Come on. So anyway, the Epcot Food and Wine Festival is back again. Already, just like last year, the gustatory delights of this grandest festival of them all will begin on July 15th and continue through November 20th. That's 129 days of food, folks, and fun, but no clowns wearing big red shoes. Sorry, fry carts. This year, the fest will open up with a similarly truncated lineup at first, but expand in the fall to new heights. Many of your favorite kiosks will return with some new surprises in store. While you enjoy your smaller portions of world cuisines, you can listen to Epcot's home bands, the Voices of Liberty, Mariachi Cobre, and the Jammin' Chefs. For the first time, you can also see bands local to Central Florida take the stage to entertain guests. The Food and Wine Festival is a highlight of Epcot's now constant festival schedule. Admission is free with a valid park ticket and reservation. Keep in mind that all of the kiosks here feature smaller tastes, so you can enjoy as many as you like. If you're feeling a longer sit-down experience, Epcot's many restaurants are there to welcome you to a fuller meal. Let's soar across the Atlantic to Disneyland Paris, where the reopening date of June 17th is just a few days away. Just as we saw when Walt Disney World opened up, guests will enjoy cavalcades along Main Street. The Cheshire Cat train and Disney Princess float allow guests to enjoy some Disney character fun without all of the waiting for a big parade. The park's version of a Buzz Lightyear blaster ride will also reopen with the park with a full makeover. In the Walt Disney Studios park, Cruella, Remy, and Emile will make appearances with their adoring fans. I've mentioned before some of the enhancements coming to Shanghai Disneyland in advance of its 5th anniversary. As we head eastward into Asia, we can hear the tones of the new song Magical Surprise, developed just for this party. This collaboration between Disney songsters, contestants from the show The Voice, and Chinese pop stars has a dance to go along with it and everything. We can't wait to see how it's incorporated into the park and its celebrations. Well, that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over and visit the Facebook pages and websites of both DL Weekly and us. Their official travel planners, Concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Well, thanks, Eric, for all that great information from around the rest of the Disney universe.
Our friends over at All Enchanting Ears have some really great deals and specials going on. Of course, remember to always use your discount code DLWeekly10 to get 10% off of your order. Their Ear of the Month Club this month is, of course, Avengers or Marvel theme for the opening of the new
land.
Good
choice.
They also have a new coaster set that's Marvel and Avengers themed as well. All sorts of good stuff. Make sure you follow them on social media. On Instagram, it's @AllEnchantingEars. And of course, you can find all of their goodies at their website, www.allenchantingears.com.
Just a heads up for everybody that coming soon, next month, for our Disneyland trip, we will be there starting July 17th. We are going to have a meetup on Sunday, July 18th, at the AMC, the old AMC seating area by down in downtown Disney. We're going to have a meetup at around 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's only going to be about an hour long, so definitely try to get there as close to 1 o'clock as possible, because we don't know what boarding groups and stuff are going to be. That's our DCA day, so we don't know how close it'll be to get if we have a boarding group or something for Web Slingers. So come and meet us. We'll have some goodies to give out to people. You can meet the entire crew because both producers will be there this time. So
this will be the first time that all four of us will be in the parks at the same time. So it's pretty exciting. And this will be James's first time back at Disneyland since we started DL Weekly.
That's true. We haven't been to a Disney park together since 2016 mm-hmm. and Disneyland since 2015. So it's been quite a while. So we look forward to seeing as many of you as can make it out there as possible.
Yes. And we did decide to do Downtown Disney so that anybody would be able to join us. However, if you are also going to be in the parks during the same days and times that we're in the parks and spot us somewhere, please do not hesitate to come over and say hi. We can go ride an attraction or who knows, whatever. You know, we'd love to say hi and hang out. So please don't feel like the only time you can chat with us is during the meetup. You can 100% stop by, say hi, get a picture together, whatever. If you see us in the parks as well.
We look forward to it. Now let's get to the news. With the blueprint for a safer economy measures being stopped by the state of California, Disneyland is free to loosen some restrictions. As of Tuesday, June 15th, that's the day we're recording this, masks and social distancing are no longer required in the theme parks. Distancing markers have begun to be removed from the resort, and indoor queues are now open for guests to wait inside instead of outside, like was previously required.
So, I'm going to be honest, I was surprised. I was a little surprised that it was like, boom, everything, like, boom,
it was abrupt.
Back to normal. So I really thought we were going to have a gradual reduction of the rules. So I thought, like, Walt Disney World. Now, granted, I don't follow Walt Disney World news, but apparently Walt Disney World had announced no masks starting June 15th.
Yep.
So it did seem pretty suspect. June 15th wasn't a very important day for Walt Disney World, but of course a very important day for Disneyland. So that seemed a little suspect. But I really thought that we were going to maybe do the no mass outdoors, mass indoors, keep the distancing for a little while. So I thought it was going to be more gradual. So I was a little surprised. So I was shocked and also excited because that means other things can start returning back to the resorts that we love so much, like entertainment.
I am very excited about this. In fact, almost everything we talk about in this week's episode is coming just in time for our trip that's going to happen in mid-July. Mm-hmm. So this will be amazing for us. I am just as surprised as you are that June 15th came and it was like immediate, like, boom, we're dropping everything. Because mm-hmm. even in Florida, when they discontinued stuff, they kind of went through the ramp up. Now I'm curious to see what the ramp up procedure for, like, how long are they going to limit capacity, because now they don't have to have capacity limitations.
Yeah, I think the capacity
either.
Thing is more along the lines of a staffing issue and not necessarily a state restriction. Me personally, I feel a little bit more comfortable that capacity is not going to be full with them doing away with masks and social distancing, just because I don't know. I feel like we're close to the finish line. I don't know if we're quite at the finish line, so I'm just not quite ready to be cram packed into what Disneyland used to be before. I would like to do Disneyland with a little bit more space.
Sure.
So that's kind of my hopes. I jokingly say to everyone that I will miss the social distancing markers, because it was very nice standing in queues and having quite the nice bubble to yourself.
I told you I will be the guy who's like, can you step back, please?
Yeah.
Like, I will be that person.
I do think timing-wise it is nice because, right, we're just ramping up into the summer and into the warmer season. As you all know, Tag and I did go to Disney World last summer. We were there in August. Now, mind you, Florida is definitely hotter and more humid, I would say, than California is. California's hot, but at least there's not the humidity. So wearing a mask in humidity was not my favorite thing to do, but it also wasn't the worst thing in the world. But it is nice to not have to have that on your face, especially outside. I would have been okay with masks outside, no masks outside, but masks inside. But because right, you've got the air conditioning.
Yeah. My biggest excitement is a lot of things can go back to how they were.
Oh, yeah.
Queues now can be back indoors. So Indy, already we saw reports today that New Orleans Square is free of a bunch of people lining up out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, because you don't have to worry, like, indoor queuing and just the switchbacks, especially with New Orleans Square, all the switchbacks, mm-hmm. you couldn't have those open before. So I think there's pros and cons. Am I sad that I can't go through the Haunted Mansion's secret entrance? That was like a once-in-a-lifetime.
Did they say that they got rid of that?
I feel like it probably has, because there's not going to be a capacity restriction for the stretching room, so there's not going to be a need for it. So. I do think there were some very cool extra magical things that we did get to experience because of all this. One of the things would be like the back entrance to the Haunted Mansion through the servants' quarters. And just, you know, it was kind of extra magical to always have ride vehicles by yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
But that means the lines will go faster.
It's true.
And everything will be, we've already seen some evidence of this today, that they're filling all the ride vehicles to capacity. Big Thunder Mountain, I saw photo evidence of. Our community manager, Kate, said that she saw some videos of pirates' boats being loaded fully. So
yeah, it'll be interesting. So now, when do you think things like Fast Pass and Max Pass are going to be coming back?
Hopefully never, but that's just my opinion.
I don't think never.
I don't think they'll bring that stuff back until capacity is back to almost full, or if not full.
We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Because some other things that we're going to talk about later, this included, I thought was coming soon, but I didn't think quite as soon as they announced. So
sure.
Who knows? You never know. Disney, keeping us on our toes. Well, with the addition of more guests from out of state, more dining locations are reopening. Yay! As we reported on last week, Oga's Cantina, Docking Bay 7, Alien Pizza Planet, Rancho del Zocalo, Wine Country Trattoria, and Bayside Brews are all returning. In addition to these, some quick service and outdoor vending locations are returning as well. Maurice's Treats, Jack Jack Cookie Num Nums, Fantasyland Food Cart, and Edelweiss Snacks on June 24th. July 1st, Hungry Bear, Lucky Fortune Cookery, Corn Dog Castle, Harbor Gallery, Schmoozies, and Mortimer's Market will also all be open. Then on July 2nd, the Tongaroa Terrace and Trader Sam's reopen with the Disneyland Hotel. Finally, on July 8th, the Refreshment Corner and Clarabella's hand-scooped ice cream returns to Main Street. So, I'm like, after I read all of this news, I was trying to remember, so what would still be closed at? Like, I feel like we're almost...
Most things, I think, are open at that point. Yeah, so I'm excited because Teresa and I have actually talked about this, that we really would like to see Docking Bay 7, because when we've been to both parks on either coast, we didn't go to Docking Bay 7 at all.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I like Alien Pizza Planet. I like their pastas and stuff that they have there. Of course, Rancho Zocalo. Love, mm-hmm. love. A lot of these snack places, Maurice's Treats have those really cool roll-ups and stuff.
I'm excited for Maurice's Treat because I feel like you need to try the frozen apple freeze drink thing. I think it's like poison apple freeze.
Okay.
And we also were told they have like a, what is it, like a garlic and cheese like
bread twist
thing that I really want to try there too.
Hungry Bear and Lucky Fortune Cookery are just going to eat people, I think, because they're very big locations. Mortimer's Market, that's that little quick service thing right in the entrance, right?
That little like fruit stand type thing. Yeah.
Which makes me happy because I love getting some watermelon or some pickles, something like that. I'm actually surprised the Refreshment Quarter wasn't open. I actually had not even thought about that. I thought it just was.
Oh, you know, I just realized one location I can think of off the top of my head that it has not been announced as to when it's reopening is the Carnation Cafe.
Oh.
Because, that is not open now, and it's not included in the list. So there are still
It'll be opening soon, I think, because that area there, now that you don't have to socially distance, I think it'll be easier to open. Mm-hmm. But it's such a small, tiny, like, there's only a few tables there. So
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I was not ready for this one this week. But some of the live entertainment has been spotted rehearsing for their return this Friday, June 18th. The Disneyland
what?
Band.
I didn't know they were returning this week. I just got excited.
Week.
This is what happened. I got excited when I read that they were rehearsing, and then I was just done for.
Yeah.
I need to stick with reading things.
The Disneyland Band has been practicing after park hours, according to Disneyland Resort President Ken Potrock's Instagram account. No word on when other acts might return, but it seems like only a matter of time at this point.
Dang. Yeah, no, I feel like a fool because I just, like, geeked out at the fact that they were rehearsing and, like, just went on that little, like, roller coaster on my own. And that wasn't even the most exciting part of the news. Oh, so that could mean things like the Dapper Dans could be coming back soon. That's hilarious. I seriously just got
yep.
all frazzled
for their return
and excited.
To the park on Friday.
Yeah, I got all frazzled and excited just at the fact that they were rehearsing. Good one, Teresa. Good one.
That is very exciting, though.
That'll be really fun and really exciting. Because, you know, those are the things that make Disneyland Disneyland and make it so fun and charming and unique is all of these extra little things. Like, really, right? It's a theme park. It's an amusement park. It's a roller coaster, whatever. However you want to say it. But, how do I want to say this? That's just what makes it so wonderful is all these extra little things. So it's so exciting for these extra little sprinkles to be coming back.
We just see the Dapper Dans now. That
yep.
was the other thing that people
yep.
were talking
Dapper
about.
The Dapper Dans is another big one,
yeah,
for sure.
I'm just excited because we'll have some of this entertainment when we're there, and I know Vern loves this type of atmosphere
he
stuff,
does.
So especially if the Dapper Dans were there. But I think he also likes the Disneyland Band.
Mm-hmm. Well, some other big news on the entertainment front. Starting July 4th, Disneyland will resume nightly fireworks. Mickey's Mix Magic will run nightly through the summer for all to enjoy. Over at Walt Disney World, Happily Ever After will resume on July 1st at the Magic Kingdom, and Epcot Forever will return to Epcot also on July 1st.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I love Disney fireworks more than I love almost anything else. I'm so excited this is coming. Now, producer James asked this on the way over. We have not heard any news, but when's World of Color coming back?
World of Color is going to be a little bit, because remember they were having to do some refurbs type
work. When's Fantasmic coming back?
Fantasmic's going to be a while because you've got a cast.
I'm just saying.
So you've got to, like, retrain all of these people. Mickey's got to do his stretching exercises. He's got to remember how to not, like, burn his fingers when he's shooting the fireworks out of his arms and hands. So, yeah.
I think Disney should get together a bunch of Fantasmic super fans.
And we'll just.
And just put it
on.
We'll put on the show. We are always ready, as
Ooh.
They say, to put on the show.
Ooh, okay. So Mickey's off the table. You can't be Mickey because everybody want to be Mickey. So if you couldn't be Mickey, who would you want to be in Fantasmic?
Let's see. That's a tough one. Peter Pan. Well, he's not in it anymore. Dang it.
Well, we're bringing our own version back.
I would bring Peter Pan back because I liked that better for the Columbia, and I think I would do that. Or I'd love to be. I like the monkeys dancing on
the monkeys
back and forth. Like
fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Or the snake Ka. I'd love to be the one that, like, turns the lights on and, like, blinds everybody.
Be the front of Ka. I would be terrified, but I think at least once I would like to be Maleficent. So I could, like, rise up over.
I could see you freaking
I'd
out.
I'd be up there,
you're cackling. Your cackling scream of Maleficent would be you screaming in terror.
Yeah, I would like to do that once, and then I'd probably regret it. But I think that would be fun. I also think being on the Mark Twain and, like, doing the dancing.
Oh, sure.
Like, that would be super fun, too.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's Mickey. I was like, I'd be Steamboat Mickey who pops up. Oh, wait.
Steamboat Willie, yep. Oh, super exciting.
Four small attractions also reopened on June 15th. The Sleeping Beauty Castle Walkthrough, the Animation Academy, the Golden Zephyr, and the Sorcerer's Workshop have all returned to guests. These attractions were able to return with the social distancing mandate expiring for California, allowing the tighter spaces and indoor areas to accommodate enough guests, allowing them to open. I know you are excited about this.
Beyond excited. So when this news broke, Tag... Like, we were talking about it, and I was like, I'm so glad that we have... Because we were going back and forth on how many days we wanted to do in the parks. Because right when we booked our trip, it was still very, you know, not a lot of things were open. And, you know, it was not a high capacity. So really, you could do, like, all of Disneyland in a day. You could do all of DCA in less than a day. The only thing that made it feel like we needed a full day, if not 2 days, for DCA was Avengers Campus, and not knowing how easy or not easy it was going to be to get in for the campus. Well, thank goodness we chose just randomly to do 5 days in the parks, because now with everything returning, it's, you know, it's going to feel like a very regular trip now. We got excited. It's been quite the whirlwind, because we got all excited, A, that we could go to the park, because yep. we're out-of-state visitors, and then B, they extended the hours, yep. and now it seems like it's just been like this, I don't know, tidal wave of all these like big news stories back to back to back to back. So it's just crazy. The other big thing too that I don't think we mentioned later is rope drop is now a thing again. So I don't care
so much about rope drop. I don't know what's the big deal with rope drop.
I think it's just fun, because it's just a little, like, again, something extra.
Gotcha. Yeah, when you were going through the list of stuff that came back, my brain is in a very strange place today, because I was just thinking of The Lion King, where like, are you aching? Yup, yup, yup. For some bacon? Yup, yup, yup. So you were like listing off all the stuff, and I was thinking, yup, yup, yup.
I was like, what does that have excited. To do with aching and baking? But I get it. Yeah. Yup, yup, yup.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So how many characters are you going to allow me to do in the Animation Academy while we're there?
What's nice is I have producer James, and I can just go wander with him and do something. Well, did you see, was it somebody in our chat, or was it somebody, James, I don't remember. I saw somewhere online that somebody, it might have been one of our supporters, I can't remember now, I've looked at so much stuff this week. Somebody got to ride Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. And they got to ride it in all 6 elevators and all 6 soundtracks.
Oh.
In one day. That was like their bucket list, was to hit it all in one day.
You have to ask to do it that
no,
way?
No. So what they did was, because the line for it was so low, because you had to be in Avengers Campus, they could just keep getting back in line. And they just did it till they got all of them.
Wow. See, I'm not even like, I wouldn't even... I get so, like, crazy when I'm in Disney that I wouldn't be able to remember, like, wait a minute, like, did I already hear this one, or did I already be, like, I wouldn't be able to make
Vern
sure I
know.
Get all of them.
Vern
he
would
probably
know.
Would, yeah. He probably
I can't
would.
Wait for producer James to experience producer Vern on Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, because he's so into it and just chill. Like, I don't know how he could be so calm and collected.
I tell you what, we're gonna... sitting in between you and Vern on Mission Breakout is hilarious.
Because he's like so calm and I'm not.
Both extremes. Yeah, it's the two extremes.
So we're going to have to ride it more than once, because you'll be in between us once and James will be in between us once. So you both get the experience.
Some changes have come to Avengers Campus since it opened at the resort just over a week ago. How has it only been a week? Side note, showtimes for the Avenger character encounters have been added to the Disneyland mobile app in order to allow guests to plan ahead and not have to kind of sit around and wait in the land for hours, hoping and praying that the encounters were going to happen to them soon. I think that's very smart, because I wonder how many people, like things like the Doctor Strange show.
Yep.
Obviously, there's some sort of schedule for that.
But oh, there has
posted,
to be, yeah.
Posted, how are you, you know, you just kind of have to chill.
I'm excited for that one. I'm also excited for...
I'm so excited for that one.
So I heard that the Spider-Man one is better in person than on video.
Yeah,
so I'm excited
for
that.
Too.
I have not really seen much about the one that they do on the, like, headquarters.
Oh. Mm-mm.
Because
I just see Black Widow hanging upside down. That's like the only thing I've seen for that.
And I saw Black Panther like climbing the side of the building. So
oh,
that's
yep,
gonna be exciting.
That's true.
You know what I want to see? I don't know how they would do this. I want to see a Hulk like moving around. Like
I really
wouldn't that be crazy?
Such a geek. Have you heard of the Hulk tree? I really want to see the Hulk.
Oh,
tree.
I have, because it's like the gamma radiation has come out
like,
and made the tree big.
Yeah, it's like. Bigger and green than the other trees like in that line. I think I just love that little detail. I bet you it may have been intentional that they didn't have the times originally, because remember it was just supposed to be like you just happened upon these
That's
things
true.
Was part of the quote-unquote charm of the land. So I wonder with guest feedback if they're like not charming, apparently that's annoying, we should probably publish these.
I think that if they publish the times until it becomes open,
that's oh,
and then when it's open, you can go to a more like things happen
sure.
to happen.
Sure, that makes sense.
Some dining changes have also come to Avengers Campus. Shawarma Palace has been removed from the mobile order altogether. More standby capacity was added to PIM Test Kitchen, and mobile orders can only be made while the guest is inside the land. Previously, some guests could mobile order outside the area and then use the order to gain access, but this is no longer allowed. Having guests place orders while already in the area allows for the mobile order windows to last a bit longer and not completely fill in the morning for the entire day. I think this is a great
change. This is a really good change. The other thing that I was actually the most excited about with this change, besides the changes that they made to mobile ordering, but the fact that they now have a standby queue or standby area for Pim's Test Kitchen. It's no longer get your dining section and just hope, you know, get your dining time and just hope that you can get it. And if you don't get it, sorry about it. You're just out of luck.
Yeah.
So I think it's really nice that they did add a walk-up standby feature for that.
Yeah, because what happens, you know, if people are in the same mobile order, like window, like let's say a half an hour window or something, or 10-minute window, 15-minute window, mm-hmm. and there's a lull, like you could serve guests during that time.
Yep,
so I think that's great. The other thing that's not in our script here, but I did want to mention, we've heard from multiple people that if you want to enter Avengers Campus and not wait for hours and hours, in the evening, yes. I've heard times around like 7:30, they kind of just open it up and you can just stroll right on in. So
I've even heard rumors that in the evening, once they've gone through all the boarding groups for web slingers, you may have some Disney magic happen and they may open a standby queue for web slingers, which is just crazy because, right, we went through, it was all this madness for opening week. And now things, we were talking about this, like it, opening weeks, opening weekends, opening days, probably the worst time to try and experience things. Everybody's so excited and really wants to see it, but really they still have got a lot of bugs that they need to be working out, spider bots in this case. But so it's nice to see that things are kind of leveling out with this land and these issues are getting smoothed over. I mean, it really hasn't been that long. So it's really nice to see Disney listening, taking a look, reevaluating, and moving forward to make it a better guest experience.
Yeah, which is what we thought that they would do. Mm-hmm.
The Disney food blog tested out the Web Slinger power band to see if it was worth the price if you wanted to use it on the attraction. Basically, having a power band will give your web slinging a power up and gain more points, but it doesn't really affect the enjoyment of the attraction unless you want to get the high score. Guests that are wanting to be top of the leaderboard will need to have one of these to score the highest points possible. Unless topping the leaderboard is worth $60 to you, then these aren't really a must-have item.
I'm glad to hear this.
I was too
concerned that having the, you know, being in a vehicle with somebody with one of these would diminish my enjoyment because they'd like blow up everything you have to like shoot webs at or something. But it doesn't seem like that. They also said that was nice about this for $60. Yes, it does all this inside stuff, but it also acts as a toy normally. Mm-hmm. It'll shoot little spider things. It'll do a little projection thing.
Yep. The other cool thing, too, is, you know, so if anyone's seen what these look like, to me, I want nothing. This does not look enjoyable.
They're
to
too
me
big
whatsoever. Yes, they're very big. But the cool thing is, because I was thinking, oh, so what? I have one on my right arm and then I sling normal webs on my left arm. No, actually, the technology in the attraction vehicle detects that you have one. And so when you're flinging your webs or slinging your webs, it will have you have the power-upped webs on both arms. So it's not like you can only use the one arm that this power booster thing is on.
Sure.
So I thought that was kind of cool. The other thing that the Disney food blog did say as well was that, you know, it didn't, like, yes, you got a lot more points, but as far as the what you were seeing and doing and enjoying in the ride itself, you really go past some of these scenes pretty quickly. So it wasn't super noticeable that you had, like, big fancy webs in comparison to just the normal webs. So yeah.
I just think that I'm looking at a picture from the link that we have in our show notes, and it just looks massive on my arm.
It does.
Like, it seems a lot bulkier than I feel like maybe it even needs to be.
Well, the other
but
thing
I don't
too
know
is, think about this. You're carrying this around the park with you all day just to use on the one attraction.
That's true.
That's
kind of how I felt carrying the lightsaber around, too.
Yeah,
It was hard to carry that around because it doesn't fit in a locker, which we didn't mention earlier, too. The lockers are now reopened as of today as well. So for those of you people who like having the access to the lockers are now open.
Yeah. That is a good point. Shannon in our chat just mentioned that there is two different versions. For $30, you can just buy like the power band thing, and then for an additional $30, then you can get attachments that kind of customize it a little bit more, so then it either like electrifies it or makes it like Iron Man with his like blasters, So yeah, so you can for $30 just have like a little bit more edge to your game.
Sure.
She said that it did things like it would allow you to fling three webs at a time instead of one.
Gotcha. I just don't think it's worth the extra money for me because I'm not going to want this other than that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be different if it was like Star Wars. If you build the lightsaber and then you have an experience where you're like using it to like block mm-hmm. or deflect or kill something.
Sure.
But then you've got the lightsaber to take home and have. I am just not as big of a fan to have this at mm-hmm. home. That's all. Well, starting on June 18th, the Toy Story parking lot will be open for guests again. Buses will be running between the resort transportation plaza and the parking lot, which hopefully means that the Mickey and Friends tram will also be making a comeback soon.
You know, it can be. However, there is this really weird kind of limbo, and they were talking about this with the monorail, because the monorail has not been announced to return anytime soon, because there's this kind of weird limbo, and Walt Disney World's got it now, too, is they're requiring face masks and distancing on things that are considered transportation.
Like the bus.
So, like, yeah, like the bus, the tram would probably be considered transportation, even though we like to think it's an attraction. Same thing with the monorail, especially in Disneyland, is more of an attraction than transportation. But there is kind of this gray area with those. So it'll be interesting to see how soon they will be returning. Some new photo ops have come to Downtown Disney over the past couple weeks. One of the photo ops is from the Hulu original Love, Victor, and the other one is based on Spider-Man. And if you have a keen eye, it does look like Spider-Man is slinging his webs and flying around what looks like to be Avengers Campus, and he's taking a selfie, and it looks like the web building is behind him. But this, the Spider-Man mural is in the same spot that the Rhea mural was last.
And the Chadwick Boseman one was before that. Yeah.
Yes.
This Love, Victor photo op looks pretty cool, although I feel like on a sunny day it could blind you because it looks pretty like reflective and shiny.
Yeah.
But that's exciting. I love the movie Love, Simon, which is what the show is kind of like a continuation of. Love, Victor, I watched, I think, one, maybe two episodes of it, just haven't gotten back to it, mm-hmm. so I can't talk about that. But it's exciting to see that they have these kind of things there, you know.
I think they're fun, right? Like, it's something that's pretty, in the grand scheme of things, it's pretty simple, but it's something fun and something to look forward to because they changed them out. So it's, you know, just another reason to go check out Downtown Disney.
Of course, with summer on the way, there is a summer treat that has returned to the resort. The watermelon seasonal apple has returned at Trolley Treats in Disney California Adventure for $11.99. This variation on the classic features a Granny Smith apple with caramel, white chocolate, and watermelon flavored coating and marshmallow ears. There's a strong watermelon flavor, so if you're not a fan of that, this is not for you.
I don't know how to feel about this. I like watermelon. I like apples. But I'm not sure how I feel about a watermelon-flavored caramel apple.
I don't know either.
It is cute.
I'm not like a huge... one of the things that the Disney food blog said was that they're not usually like that big of a fan of the apples because they're all really hard to eat.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe bringing it home and like being able to like cut it into pieces and eat it in a more controlled fashion is better.
Yes.
But I kind of agree. I do think they are like works of art, which mm-hmm. I love for that. But I think for what you're getting, $11.99 is kind of pricey.
I just can't wait. I'm so excited to go and be able to see the candy makers doing their thing again. I just love watching them. The apples are wonderful to take home. I just can't imagine trying to like gnaw on one of them in the park.
I feel like it's like a turkey leg, right? Like turkey legs, I feel, are also hard to eat in the park.
I feel like a turkey leg would be easier to eat than a caramel apple. Because think of it, you've got the thick, thick chocolate on there and you're trying to like bite it and like breaks off everywhere.
True.
And yeah.
What did we have? At Bing Bong's that I took a bite of and stuff shot everywhere. It was a cake pop.
Yeah, cake pop.
And so imagine
and
like an apple.
Smaller.
Yeah.
And you've got something like squishy on the inside of a cake pop versus
true.
A hard apple. Yeah.
Mm-mm. See, I'm with Lori. I'd rather be cut into slices.
I will say the one that we had brought back for Vern from Walt Disney World was fantastic. Like cut up into pieces.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I said I felt a little ridiculous. I took like my apple cutter and tried to like strong.
And it worked?
Yeah.
With the caramel and everything?
It did.
Wow.
It took a little while, but yeah, we got it.
I'm impressed.
Well, beginning in January 2022, students can enroll in a new set of workshops presented by Disney. Disney Imagination Campus will be a collection of workshops across a range of performing arts and academic subjects tiered to different grade levels. These workshops are geared to help students learn how to apply their imaginations and solve a lifetime of challenges in wildly creative ways. For more information and complete details, visit the link in our show notes. I wish that this was a thing when I was younger, or B, I wish I knew this was a thing when I was younger. How fun and how cool would this be?
Can you explain this to me? Because I literally have no idea exactly what this is. Like, I wrote the story on it, but, like...
It's, I don't know. I guess the best way to, like, describe it would be, like, some sort of, like, immersive kind of summer camp thing.
Oh.
Like, it's a learning experience type thing, but it's still fun. So I guess, like a summer camp type feel to it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I can get into this. In talking to people and hearing stuff from like younger folks and stuff, people always, you know, they look at things like Imagineers and the Disney Company and they get inspired to go be these things. So I think that that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll be accessible to a lot of people and not like outrageously priced or anything like that. Yeah. So people can actually enjoy it.
Psst, Avast there. It'd be too late to alter course, mateys. And there be trivia questions lurking in every cove, waiting to be answered. Listen close and keep your ready Disney knowledge handy. That be the best way to answer correctly. And mark well me words, mateys. Dead men tell no tales. Here come seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Well, we're going to start off with the continuation from last week. Listener Ace asked you a little bit about Landmark 3.5, so you know where it is, but do you know when Landmark 3.5 was dedicated?
I assume it's like 1992 when the rest of the land was dedicated, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1992. I don't know if there's any other like big Toontown.
Our second question from listener OMD, where could you find a McDonald's somewhere in the resort?
Where could we? They used to have a fry cart in Frontierland.
Like, is this present? Present tense?
I don't believe so.
Oh, and then DCA had their, like, dinosaur.
Well, they had the burger invasion, yeah, I think it was
invasion.
Called.
Oh, yeah, the dinosaur was something else.
Like, dinosaur was the sunglass place.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think a full-blown McDonald's was... I think the McDonald's was in Burger Invasion in California Adventure, because I think the other ones in Disneyland were fry carts. Mm-hmm.
All right, our third question from listener Donna S. What are the names of the three animals hanging on the wall in the Country Bear Jamboree?
Oh, no! I always forget their name!
And extra credit, or redemption, I guess, if you can tell me who voices said characters
as
well.
Oh, goodness. Nope.
I feel like Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yeah, Thurl Ravenscroft.
Croft. Oh, I can't even talk. Is Wally Bogue maybe one of them?
Maybe.
Buff. Buff is one
Buff.
Of them. Oh... Because it's the buffalo. There's like a moose.
There's a moose.
Deer.
A deer. There's a moose, I think.
Oh my gosh.
And a deer.
Max. Max is one of them.
Max, Buff
and Max.
You're getting all this, Teresa.
Because I think Buff's the buffalo. And I think Max is like the deer. So I need a moose name.
Yes. What is a good moose name?
M.
I don't know.
It's an M name. We already have Max.
Okay.
Not Martin.
Martin?
I said not Martin. Melvin. Melvin the Moose.
Tag, are you agreeing with Teresa on this
one? Yeah.
All right, our final question, and I apologize if I'm wording this poorly. This is from me. The Jungle Cruise plants may not be quite as exotic as they seem. Can you tell me at least one of the most well-known ways that the Imagineers created these character plants?
Oh, they turned it upside down.
I was going to say they planted them upside down.
All right, listeners, how'd they do? How'd you do at home? We'll find out for sure after this week's discussion topic.
Before we get into our interview with Joan this week, I do want to set a disclaimer before the episode. Joan was the first person to be friends with Peter Pan at the Disneyland Resort. Some of our conversation is not safe for magic. So for those of you who want to avoid some magic spoilers, maybe set this one out or just know that there are going to be some magic spoilers in here. So enjoy our interview with Joan. It was a lovely time. For our discussion topic this week, we are welcoming the very first Peter Pan from Disneyland in 1960, Joan. Joan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, well, we are so honored to have you. I was telling Joan this before we started, but she wrote in this lovely letter and mailed it in, and I almost fell out of my chair when we read it, and she told us, you know, her Disney story and a little bit about her time at the parks, and included a photo.
Lots of photos,
and we just, yeah, it was just amazing. So we are so excited to chat with you today, Joan.
Well, you have to remember that I'm almost 81 years old, so, you know, my memories are not as good as it should be, probably, but I'll try hard.
Well, and they'll be forever emblazoned in this podcast episode, so that's awesome. So we'll start like we do with everybody. So tell us your Disney story. What got you interested in Disney or Disneyland? You know, how did you get involved with everything? Obviously, for your case, how did you get the job that you ended up with?
Well, I'm from Long Beach, California, and I went to what used to be Long Beach State College, but Disneyland was 5 years old, and I'd heard about it, but frankly, at that point, with my family and my background, we couldn't afford to go.
Sure.
But I belong to a national sorority, and we all heard about Disneyland and wanted to be tour guides. Well, in 1960, they had one day a year that anyone interested in a summer job at Disneyland went out to Disneyland that day and interviewed for all of the summer positions. Well, unfortunately, I had a prior commitment, and to this day, I don't remember what it was. I couldn't go to the interview, so I basically wrote off Disneyland. I just thought it was out of the picture for me. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd been very active on campus. I was student body secretary, and I had a column in the newspaper and different things. So I got a phone call, and it was from the activities director. And she said, Joan, would you be interested in going out to Disneyland and interviewing for a character position? And of course, you could have knocked me off a chair. And she said, well, they're looking for somebody about 5 foot with real short hair and a girl and a boy for the space couple who would be close to 6 foot tall. So anyway, I told her, yes, of course. So I went out for the interview, and it was with a gentleman. I don't know who he was or what his position was. I don't remember. But at that time, characters were not in the entertainment, and I don't know where they are now, division. We were in theme park operations.
Okay.
So the man asked me a lot of questions and interviewed me, and I'm thinking, okay. And then he said, I have about 8 or 9 more interviews, but you are hired.
Oh, wow.
And I'm gonna get somebody to take you over to wardrobe and have your costume made, and you're going to start tomorrow.
Holy cow.
That was my entry. So the next morning, I was signed up to work 6 days a week and I got time and a half for the sixth day. I was paid $2 an hour, and I got overtime pay. So anyway, I got no instructions whatsoever on what I should do.
Wow.
I put on the costume, and by the way, for your benefit.
Oh, cute. So we're Zooming with Joan right now, and she just put on a Peter Pan hat.
Anyway, I had a supervisor, a young man, and I don't remember anything that he told me. They just opened the gate, and out I went. And I mean, when I know what the characters go through now a little bit. Mm-hmm. My granddaughter has worked at Disneyland for 21 years.
Wow.
And my former son-in-law, her father, just retired from Disneyland. And my granddaughter's husband also works at Disneyland.
Oh, my gosh.
Ballet services. So we are really a Disney family.
I would say so. Holy cow.
Yeah.
So I do want to ask Joan. I know we're getting off track from our normal questions, but that's okay. So when you went in for the interview and basically were hired on the spot, did you know which character they were hiring you for on the spot?
Yeah.
Or okay. Yeah. Or was that kind of a come with us? And then you're like, well, who am I going to be?
No, I knew that I was going to be interviewing for the Peter Pan.
Gotcha. Character. Okay. Okay. Perfect.
And it's strange because Peter Pan has always, the character, been played by women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On stage with Mary Martin and the gymnast. But I think, and I don't know, I think I'm the only female Peter Pan they've ever had.
That could be, because, I mean, currently, for sure, it's a male that's Peter Pan. So, yeah.
Wow. And I must have done a job okay, because they wanted me to come back at Christmas time and they wanted me to come back the next summer. So basically, I think I was in character with the children, but with adults, they wanted to know about me outside of being the character.
Oh, really?
I think they wanted to know, you know, how I got the job and where I'm from and that kind of thing. So, and I spent a lot of time talking to people in the queues.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't call them that. We called them the lines. And that was particularly true of the Matterhorn, because it was just slammed when I first started there.
Well, it was brand new, and it was the first of its kind.
You're right.
Wow.
And I do want to mention a little bit from the Matterhorn to talk about Tinkerbell a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody, if somebody will say to me, oh, Joan worked at Disneyland, she was Tinkerbell. Well, Tinkerbell was a 70-year-old ex-circus performer from Europe. She did not speak English. She would come in at 4 o'clock every afternoon and put on enormous amounts of makeup.
Yeah.
And then she would come. She wanted to come down using her teeth. And they vetoed that. Well, one time, the cable that she was on, the wheel, froze, and she was hanging. She'd gotten as far almost to the board, but if the handlers missed catching her when she got to the bottom, she'd hit a board. Well, they went over to Frontierland and got some cowboys to throw ropes up to her, and they towed her back down. I just thought, that would be of interest to you, because I know the most people never would guess that that's a 70-year-old who came flying down with the fireworks.
Her name was Tiny, right? Tiny Klein?
I don't remember, frankly.
I think her name was Tiny Klein, because I read about her, and she just, to have met her, she seems like she must have been just a spitfire.
Well, my second year, I worked a later shift. I worked 3:30 to 9:30 and got paid $2.10 an hour, but only worked 40 hours a week.
Oh.
Still worked 6 hours, but didn't get the overtime. But she would be in the dressing room when I would go in there.
Yeah.
There's a couple of some other things that I've written down just real quickly. I hung around with Chip and Dale. And the first year, I did not have Captain Hook and the Crocodile.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I was very close with Alice in Wonderland. And I wanted to make a real point that Alice and the two princesses, what you saw was that was their own hair. Alice's hair was almost to her waist.
Wow.
She later, when the World's Fair was in New York, she became the flight attendant on his private airplane.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, because he'd fly back and forth to New York and back. But basically, you're spending 8 hours on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You're not having to stand somewhere and sign autographs. You're your own person. You do what you want. You go where you want. Except we were limited to Fantasyland.
Sure.
So I hung out at the carousel by the Peter Pan ride.
Mm-hmm.
I could go out in front and sit on the the walls and greet people.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. The second, and that was the era of the ABCDE tickets.
Mm. Oh, yes. Yep.
The ticket books. And apparently, and I don't remember which of the universities, it was either Oklahoma State or the University of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Their football players worked at Disneyland in the summer as sweepers.
Oh, really?
And they were just cool, just really nice and friends. And I was getting married at the end of my first summer there.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived in a big beach house in Laguna Beach. And they had a big party for my husband and I.
Oh.
With a really nice wedding present and everything. But we all worked the early shift. The next year we came back. They were still came back. But everybody worked in a different land, not me, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they put us on different hours. So it was a very different scenario for me.
Sure.
You know, I always said, I would have paid them to work there the first year.
I'm sure it was just magical.
It was, but the second year it really became a job. It was very, very fun. And I'm sure if you look back in the history of Disney, you remember the pirate, the chicken of the sea.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I still had from years ago braids that had been just cut off. Well, I took them out to the pirate ship there, and they hung them up on one of the ropes. And they had a peg leg guy who was the pirate, and it was really fun to hang out. You know, and then we only worked 40 minutes out of every hour because the characters with the big heads.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the crocodile put a thermometer in his head, and it was 120 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but
that doesn't surprise me.
I'm sure, you know, there's not any ventilation either, so it's stagnant hot air.
Well, and those heads back in the day were ginormous too.
Yes.
Yes. The crocodile now, and I don't know whether they still are using a crocodile, it's not the one that the costume mm-hmm. that they had when I worked there, because the costume that the crocodile had had a big long tail, and the kids wanted to ride on it. So my job kind of then was to keep the kids off of the
yes.
tail.
Poor crocodile.
A little bit about Captain Hook mm-hmm. and the crocodile, because they were new partners with me, and the crocodile. Captain Hook was a young man who had just gotten out of the Navy, and he was very straight-laced and really fun to work with. But the man who played the crocodile,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know whether I can mention his name. I've never forgotten his name. he never shut up.
He had chatterbox,
He was just a chatterbox. Well, one night we were eating dinner, and the Captain Hook turned to the crocodile, his name was Mike, and said, "Mike, I will pay you so much if you can keep your mouth shut for..." Well, what preceded it was he'd been just chattering, and we were eating watermelon, and Captain Hook stood up and put out a cigarette in the Captain Hook's watermelon.
Oh, no.
Said, "I will give you, I don't know how much money, if you can keep your mouth shut until we get off work today." Well, by golly, even when the supervisor came by, he never uttered a word.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, that was, it was a, just kind of a fun experience.
Yeah.
backstage. And I, one of the incidents I really remember was a little girl who drugged me over to her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And she started feeling me and she said, I have to know, are you a boy or a girl? Yeah, need to know. Well, what do you do? You
right,
know?
Right, yeah.
Well, I said, I'm a fairy.
There
I'm
you not, go.
I'm not, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not either. Well, that really satisfied her. And
oh.
then another of my favorite stories is I was on the carousel and I got off and walked over to this family.
Mm-hmm.
They were all completely dressed in white. The man had on a white suit, white shirt, all white. Two little children, both in white. And I, you know, hi, where are you from? We're aliens. And the kids never cracked a smile. Oh. To this day, and I'm dead serious, I honestly believe that they were. And where would you want to go if you would came to the, our world?
Why not Disneyland,
I mean,
right?
That's a good point.
Absolutely. So,
wow.
I'll let you take over, but I made some notes and I thought maybe they'd make some good stories.
I'm sure we're going to hear lots of good stories.
They're wonderful stories. I especially like Captain Hook putting his cigarette out in the watermelon and say, you TikTok, you just... That must have been quite a bit of talking to bring it to that point.
Well, I wanted to say also that the hours that I worked the first year were really great for me as a character because... It's all about the children. You're there. And so I always loved watching when they came in the morning, clean, excited, everything. And then at night when they leave, they'd be either asleep or, you know, oh, do we have to go? And you know, food on their clothes.
Yeah.
So when I started the second year and I started work at 3:30,
mm-hmm.
That was really a very different scenario.
Oh, for sure.
Me.
Yeah.
And I asked one day, why does everybody go running up and hug the Mickey and Minnie and the Pluto and Goofy and all this? And they said, Joan, these kids honestly believe that you are Peter Pan
mm-hmm.
because you're live. You're not a big head. They know that these others are not real. But they honestly think that you are Peter Pan. And so they're intimidated by you. They're really kind of afraid to, you know, to come over and they don't come running over and give you a hug or that kind of thing.
Well, and Peter Pan's a little more mischievous, too. So they might not know exactly what they're going to get into.
Well, I've seen that so many times with the characters, even now in the parks where, you know, little kids will be, like you said, they'll be in line and they're just fascinated by, the, you know, Mickey or Minnie or whoever. It doesn't matter who it is, the Evil Queen, if that's their thing. And then they get up there and it's time to meet the person and they're like,
Well, and it is interesting because I agree with you, Joan. I feel like, you know, yes, there is this, you know, once they get there, it's kind of like this, like they're like starstruck or something. But I do think kids are a little bit braver when it comes to like Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse or, you know, but the face characters, I think, is even more because even like.
Well, they're more real.
They're more real. Yeah. Because even when you
Absolutely.
Go see when they're meeting like Alice and the Mad Hatter or the princesses or even Peter Pan, like usually the characters having to kind of like. No, it's okay. You can come out. You know, you kind of have to convince the child a little bit more.
The characters by sex changed mm-hmm. clothes and left their things in a room.
Sure.
And either Mickey or Minnie, and I don't know which one, was a thief and was stealing from the other character.
Oh, no. Well, that's not very good.
Mickey and Minnie. Oh.
I don't remember. And of course, Minnie was male.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Both Mickey and Minnie were both males.
Oh.
And we were not given any training or anything about mm-hmm. how to act. I mean, you know, they would kind of, everybody kind of made up your own thing. And I don't have a dance background or anything that would have been good for entertainment. I was just there to add atmosphere, I think, to the park.
Oh, it's definitely. Not like that anymore, though. They go through all types of training.
Lots and lots and lots of training now, yes. Joan, when you go and visit Disneyland and when you enter Disneyland, do you have a way that you like to go? Tag and I prefer, we seem to always go left towards Adventureland, but do you like to go left towards Adventureland, forward maybe to Fantasyland, or do you like to head over to Tomorrowland? What's kind of the way you like to go around the park?
I'm a Main Street person.
Yes.
And like Main Street. And, you know, I think we usually go left. It's just into Adventureland just mm-hmm. because the flow kind of goes that way and then work our way around. But, I think I like shops. And back in 1960, sponsors had shops. So Coca-Cola, you were talking about the Tiki Room. That was Dole Pineapple, who sponsored it in Frontierland. There was a Pendleton store. Now everything is Disney and the Mouse. Mm-hmm. So it going on Main Street, I think it was a little more interesting than because there were different types of things.
Sure, because there used to be a piano shop.
There was a barber shop. There was the bra shop.
The intimate shop.
Yeah. But the fact that it was like a real Main Street, I think, is what made it kind of, it made it more realistic. And, you know, it's funny because Disney today is a lot of, you know, take you out of the real world and put you in this fantasy place. And Disneyland, when it opened, was similar, but it was more real, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
They went more towards realism than they did now, which is more fantasy and like a optimal version of what things should be.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention the court jester who worked in the magic shop. Do you know who that was?
Steve Martin?
Exactly.
Was he working there when you were there?
Yeah. He would ride his
how cool.
Around. He was just a young boy. I mean, he would come into fantasy and I cannot remember whether the magic shop was in the castle, right as you came across the bridge into Fantasyland, or whether it was on Main Street. I kind of have a glimpse of both places, but I think it's on Main Street now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now it is.
I think it may have been, where there are two little things tucked in shops as you come into the castle.
Yeah.
I think the magic shop was in one of those.
I don't think I knew that. That's neat.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the idea that Steve Martin worked there. You know, a lot of people that are famous now have at one point or another worked at the parks, which is crazy. I don't remember who it is now, but somebody, probably totally wrong, but Jean Favreau or something worked on a Jungle Cruise skipper or something like that.
Maybe.
Like somebody recently, I found this out. Anyway.
So what did you say? You said, Steve Martin, you said, used to ride, a unicycle around?
Yeah. And he wore a black and yellow with the diamond plaid top. And then I think, black pants or tights or something. Frankly, he was too young for me to be that interested in.
But you saw him flying by in his unicycle every once in a while.
Right. Well, that was just a kid.
Oh, yeah, there's that outfit. Because I was just looking up, I just Googled a picture, and he's in that checkered plaid kind of outfit. That's funny. That's funny.
Well, if you ever, now I don't know if it's still in the notebooks that are in the Disneyland Hotel, is a three-ring binder. And members of my family were staying there, and my granddaughter said, look, there's Grandma. And that in that notebook, they had a picture taken in 1960. I know because there was no Captain Hook or no crocodile of all it was taken out in the front where the flowers are at the entryway. And all of the characters and entertainment people are all in the picture. And I'm right in the center, almost, I think right next to one of the Three Little Pigs. So if it's
we'll
still
have to look for that.
Yeah. We're going in July, so we'll have to swing over to the Disneyland Hotel and see if we can spot that.
I don't know whether it's still in there, you know, it's still there or not, but, you know, it's a picture from 1960, so showing all the entertainment, and of course, the mermaids.
Yes, yes.
And people, young men, would jump the fence and try to swim out, and of course, there was no sunblock then. You know, those gals sat out on those rocks for a long time.
I didn't even That's think crazy. About that. Like, no sunblock plus sitting out in the middle of the water. Oof. They had a tough job.
Although I will say probably swimming through that water was probably really nice because I'll tell you, when I'm waiting on for the monorail, that water looks very refreshing. I'm sure it's not because it's super chlorinated and colored and everything, but it looks good. What's your favorite attraction?
I have two, I think. And you're going to expect me to say Peter Pan, but, but that's just a given. I love Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And since the movie, you know, came out, it's even more fun. But kind of deep in my heart, I never, ever miss going to the Tiki Room. And when I saw that your podcast for today, I listened, but I hadn't gotten to the park. Mm-hmm. About the Tiki Room, but that just always fascinated me with the walls talking and singing, the birds singing, the things coming down from the ceiling. It was just kind of a magical place for me.
Do you know, it's amazing because we kind of take for granted how long it's been there. So, you know, because like it's been there obviously my whole life and beyond. And I mean, to this day, I'm... Like you said, it's entrancing. You can't help but just kind of take it all in and look all around you. So I just, you know, I can't imagine what it would have been like to experience it when it first came out and it was brand new technology and nothing like that really.
Well, there's so much
had ever been before. Yeah, so that would have been just
everything moves. So that really was one of my favorite rides. And now, of course, you know, with California Adventure, mm-hmm. I got to go to the previews because my son-in-law was in, he was a big wig. And I'd never ridden a roller coaster in my life, but I thought, if Disney did this, I'm not afraid. I trust them.
Yep.
My first time around, I had my eyes closed the whole time, terrified. Mm-hmm. The next time, I opened my eyes until they went around the, you know, around.
Yeah, the loop-de-loop, circles. Yep.
Yeah. And then I closed my eyes. We could just get off and get right back on again. The third time, I opened my eyes the whole time. And, man, every time we go, I'm over there trying to go on the, what do they call it?
Well, it's the Incredicoaster now,
yep, Incredicoaster.
But it was California Screamin' when mm-hmm. it first opened.
That's it. California Screamin', yeah.
So you never rode the Matterhorn, huh?
Oh, I rode the Matterhorn, but I never considered it. A roller coaster to me was outside, and actually Space Mountain, one time I was on it, and they had to stop it mm-hmm. and turn the lights on. Once you see what's there, there's nothing.
Isn't that crazy?
But when you're on the ride, man, you're really afraid, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been in a number of the rides when they've turned on the lights and stopped them, so it's kind of fun. And I heard that the Snow White, the witch holds an apple.
Yes. And
the rumor was they had to replace that apple almost every day.
Is it? Yeah, so there was like a basket of them backstage because they had to keep replacing them.
Yeah, kids, people would jump off and grab them as a souvenir. Oh, well.
Silly people. Silly, silly people.
Yeah. Yeah, she scares me. Like, the last time we went, I always forget where she is, and then she just pops out at you, and I'm always somehow not looking that direction, so it catches me, like, out of the corner of my eye. So I'm not brave. I wouldn't have been brave enough to try and steal her apple.
Well, some of the kids, when they come out of the ride, their eyes are just, like, big as saucers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a scary ride.
Yes.
Really,
We're excited because, as you probably know, they just redid it and they made it less scary and they made the story a bit more complete. That she was doing an aw shucks moment. But so we're interested to see what it's like. It looks beautiful. It looks like they really plussed a lot of the scenes, like the seven dwarves. They have, you go through like a mine and the gems are all sparkling and they've got nicer, you know, nicer lighting and better animatronics.
Well, the witch's like cauldron and stuff looks super cool too.
Yes, there's like mapping projections for the witch's cauldron now. I think the witch that comes out with the apple, I think she's not there anymore.
No, she's not there anymore.
That's good. I won't be jumping. But yeah.
So let's get started. I am going to start with like the question that I just can't wait to ask about. So you sent us this picture, and we're going to put it, it might be the episode graphic, actually, of you on the monorail with Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like to be next to Walt Disney? And did you have other interactions with Walt Disney? Kind of talk about that if you can.
No, I did not have any other interactions with Walt Disney, and actually, I don't think he even said two words to me when I sat down.
Really?
He was not that beloved by employees of the park.
Really?
It was a rumor. When Walt would come into the park, it just spread through everybody. He didn't come to the park, as far as I know, very often. I think he came when after hours or whatever.
Sure.
Brought his family. But I have a very close friend who happened to have been a Mouseketeer, and she absolutely loved him. But of course, they were all very close with him. I mean, mm-hmm. he was really a father figure for them. But I think basically we were just employees to Walt. Mm-hmm. I think that's sad for me to say that. But, you know, I mean, sure, that picture, you know, had all the other characters in a line, but he never came back where we were, you know, at times and said anything to us. So my impression was I was just an employee of his.
Sure.
I feel like, you know, like you said, that, you know, some people thought he was great and like a father figure, and some people thought he was kind of an employee. I think that's just being a person, right? Because people are different with different mm-hmm. people. I mean, you know, one thing that I always think back to is when I was an assistant manager at a movie theater, and people that did a really good job, I became friends with, and I'd let them get away with more things. And by get away with more things, I mean, like, you know, we had checklists, and I knew that they had done all the checklists. So I wouldn't go check everything. I'd be like, you guys did the checklist? All right, go home. But other people that I knew that would not do as good of a job, I would go down the list and I would check every single thing. And then people would get all upset at me. And I'd say, because you guys, when I check, stuff isn't done. And I'm not saying that was the situation with you. I'm just saying people have different perspectives and people are complicated, right? So, you know, a lot of people look at Walt Disney, you know, as this like magnificent person who, you know, is untouchable by people and was this great person. But at the same time, you know, he's a person. He mm-hmm. had bad days. He probably reacted to people differently. Of course, you know, Disneyland was a business. And I'm sure that there were times where, you know, it probably wasn't great to work with him or whatever. And I know, just like with Steve Jobs and stuff, I'm sure he pushed his people a lot because he knew that they could do it, which I think sometimes people look at that and they get disparaged because they don't, you know, nobody wants to be told you have to do this thing that you don't think you can do. But then when you do accomplish it, it is very like fulfilling and exciting. And I think a lot of, especially like Imagineers, when they talk about Walt and stuff, you know, they say, I didn't think I could do this. And then we did this cool thing and now it's a great memory for them. So I'm a little sad that that he didn't talk to you, because I thought that would have been a really great story. It looks like a really fun monorail trip, that's for sure.
I don't even know what the occasion was.
It's a great photo. I don't, whoever snapped it did such a good job, because your expression on the monorail, Walt, I mean, it's just pure joy, both of you.
Well, what's interesting is I don't even remember where I got the picture.
Oh, really?
Because in 1960, most of the pictures that people took were with Polaroid cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And my pictures, I had one sent to me by someone, you know, a guest who had been in the park. And it was absolutely the best picture of me taken in my costume at the park. And it has just faded. I've had it duplicated, you know, to try to hang on to it because I don't have that many pictures from, from my time there.
Photo pass was not a thing back then, and people didn't have, every person didn't have a
camera with them.
Yeah, a camera with them. And every time I remember even when I was a kid, my parents would say, like, oh, every time you press that button, that's, you know, think of it like a doll. It's a dollar, or, you know, whatever, because it was expensive to get film processed.
And you wouldn't even know how it turned out until sometimes
you just kinda
weeks
hoped.
Later.
That's right.
Yeah,
Polaroids were cool for that because you could see it like a couple minutes later, but
they don't keep for over 60 years.
No. Yeah, they do fade though. That's that is sad. So what are some of the other, because let's talk about your first year when you were there 6 days a week. So you got to just kind of, I think that's cool that you were trusted to just kind of, you know, this is your character and you do you with this character and you just kind of just stay within fantasy land, you know. So what were some of your favorite things to do while you were Peter Pan?
Oh, I like to hang out on the walkway coming into the castle.
Oh, yeah.
And greet people as they came into fantasy land. Mm-hmm. But some of the pranks, and I call them pranks. Mm-hmm. We were always out to outdo the supervisor to try to hide. So, you know, they had the baskets back then, the sky thing.
Yes, yes.
Well, we would get in the baskets and then we just waved to people but they couldn't get at us. You know? And then we would hide in Sleeping Beauty's castle and jump out at people. A number of times I would just take kids on the ride with me. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't have to use a ticket. I would just sit with the piece, especially the Peter Pan ride. And I loved to ride on the carousel because I could wave at people. And you would be surprised. I mean, people will hand you a baby with a wet diaper and, you know, they want to take a picture and it gets a little, you know, you constantly have to wear a smile. So go home and practice.
I'm sure after the first day, if not week, your mouth was probably sore from having to be smiling so much.
But what an awesome job.
Mm-hmm. The minute you walk through the gate, though, the adrenaline is pumping and it's, who am I going to meet today? Yeah. But you're spending 40 minutes out in fantasy land with no instructions of what you're supposed to do. And so you do things to amuse yourself and yet be visible to the public. And if you got off the carousel, you'd go and talk to people who were standing around. But here's the other interesting thing about being a character with your face hanging out. I would talk to people at length, waiting in a line, and I would go back and change into street clothes to come back in the park to have dinner or lunch. Mm-hmm. And I could be standing in line next to somebody I'd talk to at length, and they wouldn't even know who I was.
Wow.
And my second year, I wore my wedding ring all the time, and people see what they want to see.
That's true. That is true.
They really do.
That's crazy. You know, I have to say, it sounds to me like being a character back when you were a character sounds like it might even be a better guest experience than what we have today. Because I feel like a lot of times nowadays, you know, the characters come out and they're in a specific area and everybody lines up and like whatever. Sometimes I will say I've seen characters, usually when they're going to and from their meetups, will kind of interact like you're describing. Peter Pan's a good one because Peter Pan does like to kind of, you know, he'll grab somebody's, you know, some kid's hand and like skip around the land or something. Yeah, that is such a cool, that's so much to me. That is such a cooler experience than waiting in line yeah. and getting a static photo with Peter Pan. Like, you're having a fun Peter Pan experience with mm-hmm. Peter Pan. You're frolicking around the land or whatever. And, you know, even like when you were talking about jumping out and scaring people, like, that's just fun. Like, because that is the character of Peter Pan. He's mm-hmm. mischievous. He likes to have fun. He's a little boy, right? Like,
right.
That's what little boys do. So the fact, like, and riding attractions, man, can you imagine riding Peter Pan with Peter
that's
Pan? Like,
I was
that would be
thinking
so
the same.
Unforgettable.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the same thing. And, like, at that time, the fact that you got to ride for free because you didn't have to use one
right.
of your tickets. So it's like, I get to do this with Peter Pan. Plus,
and I didn't even have to pay for it.
Same thing with the carousel.
We had so much fun talking with Joan this week that it's actually going to be a two-part episode. So please listen in to next week's episode to get the second half of our interview with Joan. All right, so we've got a little bit of feedback to read. So first of all, Austin wrote in and would like some help with a virtual Disneyland. He writes, "Hello, Tegan and Teresa and producers. First of all, I love your podcast. It's my favorite podcast for Disneyland News. You're all so fun. Anywho, I have recently gotten into an online social platform called Gather. It's a space where you can create 8-bit video game-looking rooms and walk around them with an avatar. The magic happens when two avatars come into proximity of each other. When you're close to someone else, their webcam will pop up on your screen and you can have a conversation with them. It's a very basic explanation. As any Disney nerd would, I started creating Disneyland. I'm at a point now where I'm like, this is a lot of work to create. So I thought it would be great to crowdsource some help. And the DL Weekly family was the first people I thought of. Take a look at the space and let me know what you think. So I'll put a link in the show notes to this. Google Chrome is good for the best experience. If continuing to build this world is something that you'd like to be part of or have connections with people that would like to help build, I'd gladly open it up to you. It would be a cool place to meet when you can't meet in Disneyland."
Wow, how cool. He also showed like some screenshots of this, and it looks fun. Now, this is like totally out of my wheelhouse, trying to like virtually build Disneyland, but I think it's super cool. I can't even wrap my head around how you do this. So
no.
Kudos to you, Austin. This is like crazy impressive, and good luck. If any Weekly Tears are interested in this, would be something that you would like to help Austin with. Again, like Tag said, we will have the link in the show notes to this virtual Disneyland experience. Well, we also had Paul S. who wrote in to talk about his experiences with Avengers Campus. And he writes, "Just a listener who wanted to comment after coming from Avengers Campus yesterday and listening to the latest podcast." Basically, he kind of helped answer a couple of questions that we kind of threw out there and were discussing. So one of them that he talked about was why, because Tag was kind of wondering why they were limiting the land and why wasn't it just able to open. So Paul's take on it was that even though there isn't much social distancing going on, there are still markers on the floor, and technically they can't open until June 15th without the markers. So they did have to limit the number of people coming in. He did say that on a Thursday around 2 p.m. that the standby queue to get in the land was only 40 to 45 minutes, so not too terrible. We don't have that god-awful line that they had opening weekend that snaked through basically all of DCA. He did also confirm that they had a standby for PIMS, which I did not know about this until this week. So I think that's great that they did get that in there. He did mention and talk about how the app is only allowing you to order, mobile order, when you're in. So he said in his experience, he was able to order food around 4:50 for a 5 o'clock pickup. So that's pretty great. Paul had all sorts of great insights and all sorts of tips, and was telling us about his experience. So he did wrap it up with he did apologize for the long message. Please don't ever apologize for long messages. We love getting feedback and hearing your experiences in the parks. So thanks, Paul, for writing in and telling us about your Avengers Campus experience. It's always good to hear what people, you know, what listeners experience yeah. versus just relying on news sources, since obviously we're, as much as we would like to be there, you know, it's just not possible for us to always be there for these big openings. So it's great to get fresh perspective and mm-hmm. not someone that's maybe just trying to do it for the views or for the likes or whatever. So it's good to kind of get a balanced review. So thank you.
Yes, and thanks for answering my question about why don't they just open it.
Soon, though, probably, Tag. Very soon.
I hope so.
Well, now it's time to return to Trivia Land, where producer James will give us the answers to this week's trivia.
Let's just dive right into the questions and talk about how great you two did this week.
Nuh-uh, really?
Oh, yes. I mean, not at the beginning, but we'll get better as we go. Our first question from listener Ace was a follow-up. Last week, we talked about where Landmark 3.5 was dedicated. This week, the question was, when was it dedicated? And you two just overthought it. It's in Toontown, so it was just dedicated on some important day.
You know, I feel like there were. I feel like there would have been a time that we would have answered something ridiculous like that, but we thought we actually had an answer this time. That was the problem.
I love it.
Got to keep you on your toes.
There were like something like a day that ends in Y or...
Yeah.
Yep. On a sunny day.
It was a...
That's great.
It was some type of special day.
Some important day.
Yep. Some important day.
Yep.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Question two from OMD. Where could you find a McDonald's somewhere in the resort?
Oh, yeah.
You came to the right place. Burger Invasion was a theme McDonald's located in the Paradise Gardens area of DCA.
Whoop, whoop.
I never ate there.
I'm going to give us bonus points for the fry carts.
Sure.
Third question from listener Donna S. What are the names of the three animals hanging on the wall of Country Bear Jamboree?
I think you got this one.
Can you tell me the voices?
Really?
Teresa carrying the team on this one. Buff, Melvin, and Max are the names. Good job remembering all of them.
You've never even seen the show. Oh, you did at Disney World.
I did. I saw it in Disneyland.
Melvin.
And I make it a point to like, oh yeah, I saw it in Disney World. And I always make it a point to try and like catch them in Winnie the Pooh because I think it's fun.
Winnie the Pooh will be down for a first show over there.
So we can't go say hi. Okay, yeah. Who did the voices?
So Buff was voiced by Thurl Ravenscroft. Well done on that. Melvin was voiced by Bill Lee. And Max is voiced by Peter Renaday.
Dang.
I've never even heard of the other two.
I'm pretty impressed with us.
Yeah, good job. Well, you did most of the work.
Yes, I am super impressed. And our last one, the Jungle Cruise plants may not be as exotic as they seem. Can you tell me one of the most well-known ways that the Imagineers created character plants? And you're right. Just turn your head upside down and those trees will look right side up. They uprooted them and turned them upside down.
You know what's amazing to me about that?
Is that they still are alive.
Yeah.
I agree.
They're still alive. That's incredible. Way to go, nature.
Yeah. And Imagineers for understanding how to do the botany stuff with it, too.
Yeah.
Just incredible. So do you have some stumper trivia or something that can just make them bust out laughing like they did? We love asking your questions. You can send producer Vern and I an email for trivia. It's trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop. Then, collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.